is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM alongside Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. If you want to join the conversation today, tweet at us, at MLombardiNFL, at Storm Bonantoni, although that's a lot of letters, so maybe you won't want to do that. But thank you for joining us. Michael, one of the awesome perks about having you on this show, obviously, is that you've been in so many rooms with players and coaches and agents, and you know what it takes to be a good leader. You know how to have the tough conversations. And we have some tough conversations lined up for you for Step Into My Office today. Uh-oh. Are you ready?
I'm ready to go. Let's do it. All right, I never look at this, so just fire away.
We'll surprise you. Let's run that open.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk where Step Into My Office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now. Saquon Barkley, because we talked about it earlier in the show in hour one. Saquon yet to sign the franchise tag with the Giants. They have until July 17th to see if they can work out a long-term deal. And Barkley told reporters yesterday he wouldn't rule sitting out in 2023 at this point. He also has, quote, a lot of respect in this league, and he thinks that's how he should be viewed. If Saquon steps into the office for you today, what does he need to hear, and does he have the leverage in this situation? What do you think?
Well, I think Saquon, you know, you have great respect. I don't think of an organization like the Giants really have, if you fault them for anything, it's because they've been overly respectful to their players. I mean, they have not been a cutthroat organization. They've held on too long to some players, and they've overpaid some others. So this isn't about their lack of respect to you. This is about the economics of the marketplace that we live in the NFL. And you have every right to be upset about the contract for Daniel Jones. You're the first player in the Giants that have said, hey, look, we all know how this offense runs. It runs more through me than it does the quarterback. Fair. But you also play the running back position, and you're not Derrick Henry, and the offense isn't suited that way. So you just kind of have to accept your fate here. And it's a really good job. What you don't want to do is hinder yourself for the future. You don't want to come in and not have a good year or get hurt again and have a bad year. And all of a sudden now that one-year deal ends up being a make-it deal. Let's take this deal, come in, play your tail off, see if they'll franchise you again. And if that happens, you're making really good money. So you've got great respect, but don't think short-term to hurt yourself long-term.
And the immediate name that comes to mind when it comes to a holdout, Le'Veon Bell. And he even recently said in a podcast, right, that he regretted his decision not to play that season. So if I'm Saquon, though, and I'm talking to you, Michael, I'm like, all right, well, I'm trying to figure this out. How long should I hold out? How long should I stay back?
Well, I think your point, you know, we talked about this with Deebo Samuel, and I would tell Saquon this. Look, call Deebo Samuel up. See how his contract affected his performance in 2022. He admitted that it wasn't the same player. You can't have that happen to you. You have to have your best season in 23. You've got to show the world that you're not getting better, that you're becoming great. You're becoming so good that somebody wants to, who has a ton of cap room, to spend for you. That's really what it's about. And you've got to do that. And if you hurt yourself or you don't take this seriously, or if you think just what you're doing, working out, is going to help you, it's not. You've got to show it on the field.
Had back-to-back injury-plagued seasons in which he had fewer than 650 total rush yards in 15 games. But last season, more than doubled that, over 1,600 all-purpose yards. You said it. He can do it in the run game and the pass game. So he not feeling like he has the respect that he deserves, but ultimately needs to get out there on the football field. And I love the comp with Deebo Samuel, called his season last year awful and really said a lot of the contract dispute played a role in that for him. Let's go to the NBA playoffs. Critical game 5 coming up tonight in Denver, Ball Arena, Jimmy Buckets Butler really needs to step up, Michael. And he needs to hear from you because he has not risen to the occasion in this series like he has throughout the playoffs to this point. And he even said something along the lines of, this run's not going to mean a whole lot if they don't reach the ultimate goal. So take a listen to that before I ask the question.
Obviously, you guys have a bigger ultimate goal here, but is there an appreciation also just for what you guys have accomplished so far?
Not at all. At the beginning of this year, we talked about winning a championship, you know, competing to get to this point. So that's always the goal. It's always the goal with the Heat. It's about winning. It's not about individual anything. It's about holding that trophy collectively as a unit to be the best team. And that's where we're at. We don't, all the odds, 8 seed, nah. And none of that matters. It's just two really good basketball teams. One of them has to get one win, and the other has to get three. So let's just hope the other that has to get three, get three.
I like the perspective. We came here to win an NBA title. Yeah. So Jimmy Butler, Michael Lombardi, we'll see you now. What do you have to say to Jimmy ahead of game five tonight?
Well, I think you got the right mentality. I think that, you know, any great competitor never is satisfied with second place. And you obviously are a great competitor. And so this is going to drive the organization moving forward. Because if you back off, everybody else will back off. You are the leader. And everybody looks to you to set the tempo. And you've got to set it tonight. You've got to come out and play with as much energy and not overplay, but make all your teammates better, and you've got to trust yourself. And just let your competitive spirit take over and just keep reminding the team that, look, let's get this game into the fourth quarter. Let's get 7-minute mark. The one game we've won, we've had it at the 7-minute mark. We had a chance to win it. We won it. The last game we had a chance to win it with 8 minutes to go, we didn't. Let's get it to where we can win it in the fourth quarter, and let's take that game over. I think his competitiveness will drive them as far as he possibly can.
Was averaging 28.5 points per game the first three rounds of the playoffs, now down to 21.8 against the Nuggets. And speaking of needing to step it up in the fourth quarter, that production even more so, down from 8.3 points the previous three series in the fourth quarter to now 4.8 in the finals. So Jimmy Butler, Michael Lombardi told you to set the tone, bring that competitive spirit, and you need it especially late in game five tonight. We are here on the Lombardi line. Folks stepping into the office of Michael Lombardi to get us going in hour two. Next up for you, Michael, in the appointment book, Robert Saleh, head coach of the New York Jets, who, of course, canceled mandatory mini camp this week. He said that the offseason has been really good for his team. Let them have a little bit of a load off since they're going to be starting the season early due to the Hall of Fame game in the preseason. Anyways, being the head coach, Michael, at an organization that hasn't had a winning culture in decades, they have not made the playoffs since 2010. What does Saleh need to hear about building a championship organization?
Well, you don't turn the switch off or on. I mean, we just had Jimmy Butler in here, and Jimmy Butler's talking about competing and not settling for nothing less than a title. And here you are giving players time off. I mean, to me, you are the driving force. If your competitiveness isn't the highest of anybody in the organization, don't expect anybody to match it. Everybody is going to take the path of least resistance. And when you take the path of least resistance, you send a horrible message to your team. Do you realize how hard it is to win a championship in the NFL? Dan Marino's played his whole career and went to one Super Bowl. And there's nobody greater than Dan Marino. It's a team sport. It's the ultimate team sport. It requires 47 players, or 46 on Sunday, to play their best every single week. And the margin of error is so small. And when you take that path of least resistance like you're doing, oh, we're going to take time off, we're rested, and you become satisfied and contentment. Contentment is the cancer of the profession. And you in one off season are content. How is that even possible? Where is your competitive stamina? Where is your ability to drive the team? Because you have to drive the team. That's why they call you the head coach. Because they're calling you the head coach to lead, to drive the team, to get them to places they didn't think they could go. Not to back them off and to rest. Now, you're going to be smart. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need as many reps as Zach Wilson, but Zach Wilson needs a hell of a lot of reps. And what you do in this summer is going to propel you into the season. I have yet to see a team that had a bad offseason all of a sudden turn it around or think they've wanted it in the offseason. Just study the history books. The Eagles in 2010, the strike team, the all-pro strike team, Andy Reid cost him his job. This is going to come down to how hard and how far you can push the players. And when you start to back off early, you can't turn it on.
also, I'm not, you know, holier than thou, but I like the thought process of cocky on the inside, humble on the outside, and the confidence outwardly saying we're one of the best 6 to 8 teams in the NFL and can win a Super Bowl. I did find a little bit interesting. I'm also hoping for some fireworks when we have Mike Pritchard on later on this hour, because I know he said he didn't think that the Jets skipping mandatory minicamp was that big of a deal. So I want a little back and forth. One last one for you. Isaiah Rodgers steps into your office after the NFL's investigation into the sports betting allegations with him placing sports bets. How should he move forward now, knowing that his young career is in jeopardy?
Well, I think, Isaiah, you admitted you made a mistake and you admitted that you've jeopardized your career. But I would say this for your future endeavor, wherever you're going in life, I would give you the same advice I gave my two sons every time they left the house. Don't think twice, think three times. The next time you do something, don't think twice. Think three times, because you've made a colossal mistake by thinking once and twice. You better have a reevaluation and think the third time, because if it's left to your own devices, you're going to make a mistake. So think three times in everything you do from this moment forward.
I also liked what Chuck Pagano had to say yesterday with regards to the gambling policy, that in the NFL, it's always been very black and white, and this is the first time for something like this that there's been a gray area. Isaiah Rodgers knew what he was doing, and I think that's where the biggest problem comes with this. Great advice, as always, Michael. We're going to step aside when we come back, getting into some of the burning questions surrounding a number of teams getting mandatory minicamps underway this week. We're going to go in alphabetical order. So maybe burning questions, alphabets style. Look at, there we go. Real original, Stormy, real original.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com and check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving for every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way VSiN is here to make you a more informed, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Mandatory minicamps in the NFL underway. A number of teams getting started last week. We've got 21 that are getting started this week, Michael. And we're going to go kind of in alphabetical order here. Producer Elliot Bowman behind the glass and I have come up with our burning questions for each team.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So the big question for the Arizona Cardinals, which is where we're going to start. Don't we love starting at the bottom? But it's alphabetical order, so they're A, so that's where we got to go. First-time head coach, first-time offensive coordinator, first-time defensive coordinator, a team with a win total of 4.5 and a combined age of those coaches averaging 35 years, which if you're a player, yeah, that's dust, that's ancient. If you're a coach, it is very young. Are the Cardinals, with that, going to be the worst team in the NFL?
Well, and then you didn't throw in that their quarterback, the man who they gave the huge extension to, is probably going to miss most, if not all, of the season. So you add all that in, and Colt McCoy, who has trouble staying healthy, is their starting quarterback. So, yeah, I think they're the front runners for Caleb Williams right now, because as they're trying to piece this together, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge on and off the field. It's going to be a challenge for them to bring this team together and to have continuity. It's challenging because there's not going to be a lot of confidence, because there's going to be no evidence that there's going to be confidence. That's a hard thing for a young coach to handle.
They are 4-1 to be the last winless team, 2-1 to have the fewest wins this season. I mentioned that win total of 4.5. What do you think about this division wins number sitting at 1.5 for the Arizona Cardinals? Can they get 2 wins in the division?
Well, I mean, I think they could beat the Rams at home. Could they beat Seattle at home? Seattle plays them fairly well down there. Could they win a road game? I don't see that. I mean, look, their quarterbacking is so bad, and they're going to be inexperienced in play callers. I mean, you know, one of the things I've written for the guide is the importance of play callers. And we always talk about a play caller making a great, you know, it's obvious to see an offensive play caller calls a play, a touchdown. Oh, what a great play call. But sometimes the play call that's tied to get you out of a bad play is the best call of the game. And nobody knows that, and nobody sees that, and nobody talks about that. So to me, it requires some experience. And then how do you adapt the team during the season? I mean, Jonathan Gannon was not adaptable when he was in Philadelphia with a really good defensive front. If he rushed four, he got there. He had 60 out of his 70 sacks from rushing four guys. I think this is going to be a challenge.
We'll see how things ultimately play out in Arizona. Let's go to the Atlanta Falcons. Desmond Ridder, entering the year as the full-time starter, played four games last year, 2-2 in those starts, averaged 177 yards per game, 6.2 yards per attempt, two touchdowns, no picks. Can he take the step he needs for the Falcons to have success this year? The majority of tickets, we talked about it yesterday when we were looking at the NFC divisions, the majority of tickets are back in the Falcons to win the NFC South.
Yeah. I mean, look, I think if he plays within himself and just doesn't try to be the hero, try to play outside himself, they can improve. Look, we know this. They ran the football effectively last year, and they can control the pace of the game. And they've got playmakers, assuming they could stay healthy. But they've got to be able to throw the football effectively when the game is on the line in the fourth quarter. And that's something that Ritter's going to have to prove he can do. I'm doubtful based on the four games that he played last year. He threw two touchdown passes. He held the ball because he didn't want to make a mistake. He's going to have to break through that.
His total yards prop set at 2,600.5 over even money, over -120, excuse me, under even money. And the Falcons, I still like the Carolina Panthers. We'll get to them a little bit later, but I still like the Panthers there in that division. B is for Buffalo. The Buffalo Bills are the favorite in the AFC East yet again this year. But are they the rightful favorite in a division that's so competitive? That's my burning question for the Bills.
Now, I think they are, Stormy, and I think if they become a more physical football team, where they really focus on trying to knock people off the ball and not rely on Josh Allen to make all the big plays or escape or the Houdini plays, I think they can. You know, it's going to be an interesting, we're not talking much about this, but Sean McDermott's going to call the defense there. And Leslie Frazier left, and Sean's taken over the defense. Now he's going to manage the game and take over the defense. That's putting more on his plate. Can he handle it? Can he handle it? I think that's a question we've got to ask ourselves.
What do you think about the Bills' Super Bowl window? They're 9-1, third on the odds board behind the two teams that played in the Super Bowl last year. But they, with Josh Allen, have yet to even play in one at this point. Been to an AFC championship, twice in the divisional round. They've been knocked out. Is the window getting slimmer and slimmer for Josh Allen and this team, or what do you think?
I don't think it's getting – I mean, as long as the quarterback's young and healthy, it's not going to get slimmer. You know, they were 13 seconds away from going to one. If he just squib kicks it, you know, McDermott caught all those defenses on that drive. Everybody blames Leslie Frazier. I think a part of discontent occurred back when McDermott took the calls away from him at that game. And so, you know, they're 13 seconds away. If they manage that game better, they're in the playoff already. I think their window's going to stay open for a while.
The Bills have led the league in offensive points scored per game the last 2 years, second in yards per game. They've also had the second-best regular season record since 2019, behind only the Chiefs. But in that span since 2019, the Chiefs have won two Super Bowls, made three appearances. So the Bills trying to get over that hump themselves. Again, 8-1, 9-1 range for them. B is also for Baltimore. Talking Ravens, Todd Monken steps in as offensive coordinator for Baltimore. Lamar Jackson wants to turn him into a little bit more of a passer. Not that he hasn't had that ability, but to showcase his arm a little bit more, have him pull back the reins in the running game. What will Baltimore's offense really look like under Todd Monken to you?
I think it'll be more play action. It'll be more traditional play action. It won't be a weird running game. It'll be some elements of the Roman run game, but I think it'll be more of a play action pass, a little bit more of a vertical passing game down the field, in the middle of the field. I think he's going to incorporate some of those things and try to tie. I think the biggest mistake Roman made as an offensive coordinator was his run game never tied to his pass game. See, this is where Kyle Shanahan has such an advantage. Every run, Kyle has a pass off of. Now, that sounds simple, and people say, why don't they do that? Well, teams don't have that. Every run should have a play action. Every run design has a play action. So for the defense, oh, no, this looks – no, it's a pass. I think that's what they need to get more to, and get Lamar under center a little bit to separate the defense, to create some seams in the defense that are not there when you're just always in shotgun running counter OB or counter OY and all those things that they try to run.
A division I think could be pretty competitive, plus 240 in that, 9.5 their season win total, and their Super Bowl odds actually shorter than they were a year ago at this time. They were 20-1 preseason last year, 18-1 right now. Let's go to those Carolina Panthers. See, I knew that we would get there soon because of the whole alphabet thing I'm talking about here. Frank Reich told reporters this week Bryce Young has ascended to the top quarterback on the depth chart over Andy Dalton and Matt Corral. I mean, we knew that, obviously, being the number one pick out of Alabama. It was just a question of when. The when is now. How quickly, though, can Bryce Young really be one of those legitimate quarterbacks in the NFL?
Well, I think the offense is going to carry him a little bit. He's, you know, it comes down to his decision-making, his ability to process quickly, and that's something he did very well at Alabama. You know, they're going to rely on their offensive line, the James Campen run game that was so successful, Miles Sanders as the back this year, along with Chuba Hubbard. But to me, I think he can make an impact right away. And he's got to just play within himself. And that's what Bryce Young does really well. He plays within himself. And so he's going to lead this team. He's going to give them a sense of toughness. You know, we talk about Jimmy Butler bringing that competitiveness to his team. Well, I think Bryce Young does this in a different way, in a kind of a quiet but demanding way. Not like Mariota, who doesn't really have that vibe to him. Mariota's more of a follower than he is a leader. Bryce Young is a true type A alpha. He's going to lead this team, and I think it's going to benefit the Panthers.
And I know it's talking season, and everybody's glowing and wonderful, but all the reports that I have seen out of Panthers camp have been saying how coaches, players, everybody's been very endeared by Bryce Young to this point, soaking up everything like a sponge, whether it's Josh McCown or Frank Reich, or even Steve Smith, who's been around a lot asking him questions and trying to get perspective. How big of a factor is it this last 30 seconds, just the coaches that you have around him? Because you do have a head coach that's a former quarterback, understands you, McCown, Jim Caldwell, who had experience with Peyton Manning, of course, like all these guys around him to support him too.
I think that's important because, you know, that you can go to get answers, right? You know, hey, Peyton struggled with this. And, you know, when I was a young player, Jim Kelly struggled with this. And then when we had Jalen Hurts and, you know, or we did this with Justin Herbert in San Diego when I was there with the Chargers before we moved to Los Angeles. I think all that, you know, players want to be able to connect what they're learning to a player that learned it before.
Further, some of our NFL talk when we come back with VSiN's own senior NFL analyst, Mike Pritchard, former near decade-long wide receiver in the league. Get some perspective on some of the news and notes and burning questions from Pritch next on the Lombardi Line. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to the VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can also check out a top VSiN expert's leaderboard where you can view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for just $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. And like Michael told you last segment, the NFL guide is going to be coming out in short order. We're going to have it out sooner than we normally do. And you can no longer get the guides a la carte. You got to become a subscriber. You'll get insight from Michael Lombardi, from our guy Brent Musburger, and also from our guest who joins us now, Mike Pritchard, former NFL wide receiver, now VSiN senior NFL analyst here at the network. May have also won a national championship in college football. What's going on, Pritch? How are you today?
Stormy, I'm great. How are you doing? Michael, great to be with you today.
Good to be with you, Mike.
Yeah, and I got to remember always when we do this segment, Michael and Pritch, because we have to have the delineation here. Thank you so much for joining us, especially with some interesting news, I feel like, that's come out over the last 24 hours with Saquon Barkley and some of the public comments that he's made, still dealing with trying to get that long-term contract with the Giants. New York, of course, signs Daniel Jones earlier this offseason. They put the tag on Saquon, which he has not signed, and now has made comments publicly that he's not necessarily all that afraid of holding out for 2023? Although, of course, you never want to get to that point. But when you heard Saquon's comments, what was just your initial thought? And, I mean, the running back market as a whole right now in the NFL.
You know, Stormy, it resonated. I mean, I think if we go all the way back to the late 80s or even the mid 80s into the 90s, the running back position, they seem like they always have to lobby publicly to get paid what they think that they are deserved, right? I mean, you can go Emmitt Smith, you can go Eric Dickerson, you can go all these running backs throughout time. It's because of that position. You know, it's a wear and tear position, we all know. The value of that position, I think, is as high as it's ever been, if not higher than back in the 90s when you had premier running backs all over the place. And Saquon Barkley is one of those players. Now, do teams feel like they want to pay one guy who would represent that percentage of the cap? Or can they do it by committee, right? And is there a running back out there that separates himself in a different category to where, you know what, we don't care if we want to do it by committee. Let's go with this one guy because he's phenomenal. I know this. Saquon had 352 touches last year as a running back. And outside of the quarterback, there's not another player on that roster that touched the football more than Saquon. So he has value to the franchise and to the organization, to the team. It's just, do they want to pay him what he thinks he's worth? And can they fit him under the salary cap? I think that's what we're going to have to deal with throughout the rest of the offseason. Not only Saquon, but Josh Jacobs and other running backs that fit under that category.
Hey, Mike, what did you make? Later in the conversation, Saquon talked about how, as you've mentioned, he is the straw that stirs the giant offense drink. That, you know, they paid Daniel Jones all this money, and he wasn't taking right. a shot at Daniel Jones, but he kind of was taking a shot at Daniel Jones, basically saying, like, how does he get what he wants and get paid in that market, and I don't get what I want? What were your thoughts on that?
Well, that goes back to the franchise tag, Michael. I think you know, the franchise tag Saquon means that, okay, he was restricted. He couldn't test the market. And if Saquon Barkley could have tested the market, I think he feels like he would have been fairly compensated or found out what his true market value is. Whereas Daniel Jones was able to do that, had the freedom, but signed back with the team. Saquon, in his mind as a player, and I can relate to this, he's feeling like he's stuck. You know, I think we all want to test the market. We know what the market can bring back. My first year, the reason why we did a 3-year contract as opposed to a 4-year contract is that we knew that free agency was coming on board. And so I was able to become a restricted free agent, but garner enough interest out there, Michael, to really get a great second contract. And, you know, that's what Saquon is looking at right now.
The New York Giants looking to build on what they did last season, yet their season win total only at 7.5 right now. So hopefully they get things figured out with their star running back. You know, Pritch, last segment, Michael and I were going through some of the teams that are starting mandatory minicamp. A number of them got underway last week as well, and burning questions for each team. I know you pay particularly close attention to the local team here in Vegas, right. The Vegas Raiders. What's your burning question for Vegas going into 2023?
Quarterback.
No.
I know. How about that? Even with Josh Jacobs and the potential holdout that the Raiders could face with that too, right? I think defensively this Raiders team has a chance to be better. I think in offseason, some of the drafted players that they acquired, certainly some of the free agents as well, and the scheme. You know, another year with Coach Graham, familiarity, all of that kind of comes into place with what the Raiders can do defensively. Now, the question mark is offensively. I mean, I think with Derek Carr, a number of years, maybe you knew what the Raiders were going to be about. I think they surprised people last year, at least Derek Carr and Devontae Adams did. And then here comes Josh Jacobs, like I mentioned before. So can they build on that? They get the Josh Jacobs situation settled, but is the quarterback position, G in that foot, is that going to be settled? And is that going to be something that you can rely on for 17 games? You know, that to me is the biggest burning question right now for the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Garoppolo and all indications are he's good, you know, they had their mini camp last week, but, you know, they are. I do think you hit the nail on the head earlier in this when you said that they're better. I think they'll be better on defense. You cannot get, in terms of their talent level defensively, any worse.
Right, right.
All right, I'm going to hit you with another one. How about the Dallas Cowboys. Burning questions for the Cowboys.
Sense of urgency, right? I think it's a three-team race, as we know. Dallas, 49ers, and the Eagles. Although I have another team I'm going to throw in the mix here in a minute. But, yeah, a sense of urgency. You know, McCarthy, is this going to be his final year? I think he's coaching as if it could be a make-or-break situation. You know, how many years do you want to give Dak Prescott? How many years do you want to give this situation? I think they're loaded defensively on the top end, all 22 for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's the Super Bowl caliber roster. But can they be consistent enough? I think they can. I mean, Dak Prescott, for his entire career, has averaged double-digit wins pretty much. So you can count on the Cowboys to be in the playoffs. It's just, can they get through the playoffs? And to me, the burning question is this, you know, minicamp, the offseason, everything leading to training camp. Can they get to a point where they understand how to get through the playoffs and not just reach the playoffs this year?
I agree. I mean, but, you know, to me, I love the Cowboys on paper. I just worry, can they get it all together? That's what I worry about. Can it, you know, whenever they have home field advantage, it doesn't work out. And whenever you think they have a chance to upset a team, you just, there's something missing, Mike. I just can't put my finger on it. Well, I actually can. I think it's their culture, but that's a whole other story.
I was just going to say, do the Cowboys really want to run more? Because that's been what we keep hearing, right? And is Zeke going to come back? Who knows? So many questions about the Cowboys, I feel like.
Burning questions.
What was the other team that you were going to talk about in the NFC East, Mike?
Well, the NFC in particular, the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, for so long, I've been thinking it's a three-team race. But, you know, having played up there, and you know, I get privy to information up there, too, and it's like, they are very excited about this roster, and rightly so, right? I mean, I think Geno, the consistency that he established last year, if he can build on that with the weapons he has around him, Smith and Jigba has been outstanding so far. They're going to run the football. They're going to be physical. They're going to be tough. They got depth on the offensive line and the defensive line, and then they could be dynamic in the back end, too, defensively. So, there's a lot of excitement going on with the Seattle Seahawks, so I'm starting to gravitate towards that excitement and include them into the race in the NFC.
What are your thoughts on those rookies, Devin Witherspoon and Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and their progress? Because I saw they were, you know, somewhat limited during rookie minicamp and OTAs. Witherspoon, I believe, is still yet to sign that rookie contract. Any early thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I think my initial thoughts is Witherspoon from the Big Ten. I mean, I don't know if they're anticipating him to be a shutdown corner, but I think he's a compliment to what they want to do. Certainly what Pete Carroll's all about. And then Smith and Jigba, they just give Geno Smith and that offense another weapon. He's going to be good to go. He's got to stay healthy, like you mentioned, and we know about his injury issues at Ohio State. But with DK and Lockett and that running game and the tight end position, there's a lot that they can do with that offense, something that they haven't done before, I believe. And then on top of that, they don't have a quarterback ego to worry about either. They don't have that Russell ego to worry about.
Yeah, I like Seattle, Mike. I agree with you. I think they're better. Look, they made giant steps last year. I think they had a great draft, they got a three technique in Jones. I like this team. I do. I think they're going to go over their win total.
Win total sitting at 8.5. They're a -120 favorite to make the playoffs this year. Pritch, I would normally say see you tomorrow, but you're ditching me. So...
Well,
one of those.
It's I think it's a good reason, though. I'm not ditching you. I just had an obligation that I have to uphold.
Valid.
Mike,
you're,
we got
you're grown
you.
Up.
You fill in it's for fine. Me all the time. It's my pleasure to help, Mike.
Thanks, Pritch. Okay. Have Thank a great you. Day. That's Mike Pritchard at MI Pritchard on Twitter. Great things, of course, our resident NFL analyst in addition to Mr. Lombardi here. We're wrapping things up on the other side. NBA Finals Game 5.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Plus, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, remember, you can convert BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties here on the Strip or nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This is the Lombardi Line, presented as always by BetMGM. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and behind me, Michael, it's the calm before the Game 5 storm here at Circa Resort and Casino. You know this sportsbook is going to be packed for a potential NBA Finals champion crowned tonight with the Denver Nuggets, a 9-point favorite against Miami. We talked about this game a little bit earlier, but just what does your gut tell you about how things are going to play out tonight?
Well, just reading the body language of Butler, reading the body language of Spoelstra, I think it'll be a good game for three quarters. And I think at some point, Denver's will and Denver's talent will take over. And like they have done in three of the four games, win the fourth quarter. I think to me, this is a test of wills. I don't think Miami will back off at all. I think Miami will play as hard as they can, but they just don't have enough to keep up. And if they're shooting well, though, here's what I would say. If they're shooting well, you know, or they look like they're making their threes, you might want to grab in-game betting to bet that line to see if they can cover. But at the end of the day, I just think Denver's the better team, and Denver will wear them down in the fourth.
Yeah, in-game betting, I think, always an angle, especially in the NBA. Depending on how things go early, you can usually get some pretty favorable numbers. Where things sit right now, Denver, an 8.5, 9-point favorite. Total ticked up a touch over the last 24, 48 hours to 209.5. We'll see if that continues to move up a bit, as our guy Jonathan Von Tobel mentioned earlier is possible with Tyler Hero potentially back in the lineup. He was upgraded to questionable today. Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that the expectation is, barring any setback in pregame, that he will work his way back in the lineup. And he could be a key factor when it comes to shooting the three. We know the success he's had there, but he's also coming off a fractured hand that's on that shooting hand. And this kind of leads us, I think, to our pro tip here, Michael, that Tyler Hero slated to be back in the lineup tonight, but don't make the mistake of thinking that's what's going to change everything for Miami just because he is such a good shooter. Their offense might be slightly better with him on the court, but their defense could suffer. He's a defensive liability at times, Michael. And plus, I mean, just continuity, chemistry. He hasn't played since game one of the NBA postseason against the Bucks. You never know what you're going to get. It's kind of a wild card having Hero back in the lineup.
It is, and, you know, you don't know what kind of shape he's in. As JVT mentioned, you know, they are in altitude. Yep. He hasn't practiced, you know, full practice. If he could full practice, he would be out there. So, look, I think the bigger key is JVT at the nail on that. I think Kyle Lowry, who I've been critical of before this series, has played well. And he's given them some balance. You know, against Boston, he struggled to get the ball, his ball handling. I mean, Jaylen Brown stole it from him at midcourt. But I think he's playing well enough. They're going to play him more. I wouldn't be surprised if they actually even started him. They need him to play well. I think he's a guy to bet the over total. I agree with JVT. I think this is the do-or-die situation, and you want to go with guys that have been there. Look, but last game, Strus and Vincent didn't even score. Mm-hmm. I mean, Strus has played two games of the five that hadn't even got a point. They need him to play well.
Lowry's point prop tonight set at 9.5. He had 13 in game four, averaging 10.5 points per game so far in this series. He's gone over his prop at whatever the number was in each game so far. So we'll see if he can keep that trend continuing. What did you think of the Michael Porter Jr. conversation that we were having as well? Do you think that he's due, or he continues to struggle?
I do think he's due, right? I mean, he's a pure shooter. That's the one thing Porter has always been. Porter has been known for his offensive prowess more than any playing defense. And we've seen him block shots in this series. We've seen him rebound. At some point, shooters get their stroke back, and he's playing home in front of the crowd. And I think he has been a little bit embarrassed by how he hasn't scored or helped his team. He's watched Aaron Gordon do it. I think he feels like he can. I just think, to me, when you have great offensive skills, you don't go that long without finally breaking through. And I think Porter's one of those kids that does.
The prop set at 10.5. We talked about this also with JVT, that earlier in the postseason, like, we were seeing that number at 15.5. He was going over continuously, just 10.5 tonight. So potentially a buy low spot if you think that he can kick it into gear and help give a little bit of support to Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, who have been tremendous here in the finals.
Yeah.
If you look at some of these numbers, Michael, they've combined to score or assist on 73.2% of the Nuggets' points in the finals. And for a team that was the number one seed in the Western Conference, one of the best offensively in the league all season, they have actually stepped their game up that much more in the postseason, rank 1 and 2 respectively, in the largest point per game increase from the regular season to the playoffs in NBA history. They have been tremendous. Jokic's point prop tonight set at 29.5. Jamal Murray set at 25.5. And while Jokic only had 4 assists last game, he's been a triple-double monster. Do you think he could get back in the facilitating mode tonight?
I think he's a triple-double waiting to happen tonight. I don't think he was 100%. I think he was tired in the last game. Yeah. He's had more rest.
He tweaked the ankle as well early. Look,
I think to me, the guy has done everything to win games. He hasn't cared about the stat sheet. Same thing with Murray. I mean, Murray scored 17 points the other night, but he has 12 assists. I mean, I think these guys are playing very comfortably within the framework of what Miami's trying to do to them. And it flows. The game kind of flows to them. And you got to give them credit for not worrying about all the other stuff and worrying about just the W, right? That's the most important thing, getting that W. I think Jokic is going to be a tough out tonight. I think he smells blood in the water, and I think he's going to drive this team. And if they get contributions from Porter or Bruce Brown or any of those other guys, it's going to be hard for Miami.
Well, the country is with you. Like I mentioned earlier, 99% of the bets that have come in on will he or won't he have a triple-double tonight at plus 110? 99% of them are on the yes. So everybody believing in Nikola Jokic, having a big day as the Denver Nuggets try to close things out. How about...
All right, without Scott Foster, he's not going to be in foul trouble. So that's a good thing, right?
There you go. It always comes back to Scott Foster for whatever reason.
Well, there's always one game he's in foul trouble, right? There was one game in the Lakers series he had the foul trouble. It seems like there's one game. And I think to me that we've already had that game. I don't see him getting in foul trouble now.
He wants to be the most famous person on the court, don't you know? Like,
yeah, that's... I think that's true. Yeah.
We
all come to watch. It's like we all come to watch certain referees in the NFL. Scott Novak, he's convinced people are coming to watch him referee a game. Same thing with Foster.
Not that people, I mean, I'm probably the one person in the world that has a favorite official. I love Bill Vinovich. Is that weird? He's my favorite NFL official.
You get a good game with Bill Vinovich.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's weird at all. When I was in the league, Bob McElwain, who actually lives down the street here in Ocean City, when he was doing our games, I'm like, it'll be a good game. You know, it'll be a good game. When we got Johnny Greer, you know, I knew we were going to get called 3 times for holding. Other than that, it would be a good game. So, kind of know this, right?
Yes. Game like tonight. Let them play. I want to have Game 5. Hopefully, similar situation tomorrow. Game 5 in the NHL Stanley Cup Final between the Vegas Golden Knights and Florida Panthers. They're in a position to potentially hoist the cup and win their first title in franchise history as well. So a good couple of days here. One more prop I want to ask you about, because I know you love your boy Aaron Gordon. He's had the height advantage in this set. He's been tremendous in the finals. 13.5 is his point prop. Over or under Aaron Gordon tonight?
I think I lean under. I think what JV said is true. I mean, you know, he's still playing so well, but he is the unsung MVP of the series. He's done a remarkable – from the first game, I mean, he was determined to show that he was worthy of being a lottery pick, and he has done that. So, but to me, I think this is a Jokic-Murray game. I think this is one of those games where I really see it's going to come that way. The way you win these game fives or close out the series, your best players turn it on. I mean, I can remember going back to when the 76ers beat the Lakers in their only title. They got behind in the game, and then all of a sudden the Moses Malone train came along. And even though Dr. J was great, Malone won the game.
Well, let's get her done. Mama needs to cash this -1.5 series spread bet she has on the Denver Nuggets. And Elliot and I were talking about this. I threw in a money line parlay, Denver Nuggets to close it out tonight, the Golden Knights to close it out tomorrow.
Of course you did.
+110, baby. Let's get it going. I'm excited.
Why wouldn't you? I love it, Stormy. I love it.
Awesome stuff, Michael, as always. We'll be back here again tomorrow, same time, same place. But enjoy Game 5 of the NBA Finals coming up tonight. Hopefully.
I don't know why it wasn't on yesterday, though. I'm still complaining about that, Stormy. I don't understand it.
From a content standpoint, I know all of our producers want these series to roll on, but end it. It's a wrap.
Okay.